The technological age we live in allows us to process information in lots of ways, and those include the ability to take raw information and put it on maps quickly. The state of Oregon just took advantage of that capability. The health authority now maintains something called the Sexual Violence Prevention Resource Map. It is actually one map of Oregon with several different overlays showing things like where sexual violence happens to young people in the state. The map, or maps if you prefer, represent efforts of both the Oregon Health Authority and the Oregon Department of Education. We have representatives from both to explain the need and the goal. Matthew Laidler is lead research specialist at the Oregon Health Authority. Welcome.
Hi, thanks, Jeffrey.
Good to have you here. Sasha Grenier is with us as well. She's sexual health education and school health specialist at the Oregon Department of Education. Sasha, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having us, Jeffrey.
So Matt, start us off. Give us a sense of what the research shows in general about sexual violence involving young people in Oregon.
Sure. So sexual violence is prevalent. In the U.S., 1 in 3 women and 1 in 6 men experience sexual violence in their lifetime. And sexual violence can start early in the lifespan, so it makes sense to try to address some of those risk factors early in the life course. So, for instance, about half of female rape victims in Oregon report first being raped when younger than 18, which is a rate that's higher than the national average in the U.S.
Okay, so a lot to take in as we look at the various categories that are listed across the map. I mean, what's the overall arching goal that led to the creation of the project?
Sure. So I work for an injury prevention program, and injury prevention really transects many public health issues, including sexual violence. So we're funded under a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention injury grant, and one of those focus areas is sexual violence prevention. So we started out with a work group that we convened to look at some of the risk factors for sexual violence, and really what we began to realize is that there was no central repository of data that looked at sexual violence risk factors among youth, but also some of the protective factors. So our idea was basically to present that sort of central repository of information, looking at information on risk factors as well as protective factors, some of the outcomes, you know, for instance, sexual coercion or forced sexual intercourse, but also being able to map out some of the policies and resources that were related to sexual violence prevention. For instance, the different organizations that work around sexual violence prevention in local communities. So really the aim of the map was to focus on those factors and allow communities to assess their local burden of sexual violence, but also to document the current state of outcomes and risk factors. And we think that at least at the local level, this can help communities identify what the differences are in some of these risk factors, even between communities, identifying what the priorities are in communities for prevention and whether those are aligned with the scope of the problem in local communities. Being able to identify trends, what's changed over time. And I mean, let's be honest, resources are pretty scarce. So we think it can help communities identify where scarce resources can be deployed to the greatest effect. You know, for instance, in education among K-12 youth.
Which sends it straight into Sasha Grenier's domain at the Department of Education. Talk about the ODE's involvement in the process.
Yeah, so ODE was involved in the work group that Matt just mentioned. We were involved in kind of just the budding of why this is such an important process. Like Matt said, one of the major pieces of this tool is the fact that we can really engage with school districts, we can engage with teachers and community members, parents and caregivers, so that they can really see what's happening in their own communities. They can see, you know, all the sexual health indicators that Matt just mentioned, sexual violence rates, STI rates, unintended pregnancy rates in the places that they live, but also what their school districts and schools are doing about that in terms of teaching sexuality education K-12. So Oregon Department of Education has passed a series of laws and rules regarding what needs to be taught in what grade. And so this map will really help kind of enable those school districts to get those resources that they need to be able to follow those laws, but also to be able to make their students as healthy and happy as they can be.
Okay, I have many questions about comprehensive sexuality education for a bit later, but were there many decisions to make about what to include and what not to include in this process, Sasha?
That's a great question. Well, we focused on making sure that there was a real positive angle to this, that making sure that people had, maybe they would recognize some gaps in their communities or areas that resources need to be invested, but also on the resources side of this map, to be able to present those folks with a series of things that they can do, so it isn't just highlighting gaps. It's also highlighting, hey, there are some really, really important and easy things that we can do to make schools safer and make students learn what they need to learn. So that's why we have the resources angle of this map, including sexual violence prevention centers that Matt had mentioned a minute ago. So really focusing on this being a tool for school districts and communities to really improve the health and education in their communities.
All right. Let me make clear again that the word prevention is included right there in the name of the project. It's the Sexual Violence Prevention Resource Map. We do link directly to it at our website at jeffexchange.org if you want to get in there and get a look at the different map overlays. And yes, there are things like Sasha was just talking about that show what the resources are as well as the incidents. You can join the conversation on the Exchange as we explore the Sexual Violence Prevention Resource Map with Sasha Grenier at the Oregon Department of Education and Matthew Laidler from the Oregon Health Authority. 800-838-3760 for your phone questions and comments, or you can send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Matt, give us an idea about the figures and just the collection of the data. I mean, particularly in things like sexual assault, because there's an assumption that not all sexual assaults are reported, for example, as criminal cases.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know that a lot of these data are an underreport. However, there's a lot of indicators that communities can compare side by side. So much of the data actually come from a survey that's conducted by the Oregon Health Authority every odd year. It was last administered in 2017. That's the Oregon Healthy Teen Survey. That asks questions from 8th and 11th graders regarding various things around health outcomes and health risks. Some of that information that's asked includes, as I mentioned, sexual coercion, forced sexual intercourse, or even teen dating violence, which is a form of sexual violence. Some of the data, as Sasha mentioned, it's not all negative. There's positive data on here as well. For instance, positive youth development, which shows resiliency among youth and communities. Those are indicators like community connectedness, physical and mental well-being, as well as having an adult in the community that cares about the student. But we also have data on there that show risk factors like sexually transmitted disease, which is a known risk factor that increases sexual violence, the risk of sexual violence among perpetrators, but also pregnancy data and bullying. So a lot of these data come from the Oregon Healthy Teen Survey, as mentioned, but some of it all is also from the Oregon Vital Records, which includes teen pregnancy as well as sexually transmitted infections data.
We've touched on pregnancy a couple times now, and I want to be clear that this is one of the areas of relatively good news, Sasha Grenier. The pregnancy rate for teens in Oregon, 1996 through 2016, looks like a fairly steady and not insignificant decline. And I wonder what the Department of Education might attribute that to.
Yeah, we are really happy to see those numbers. However, I'd like to highlight that those numbers still represent extreme disparities among different vulnerable populations, racial groups, different folks that maybe aren't as emphasized in a lot of the funding structures that we have are still experiencing much higher rates of pregnancy than others. So yes, we've seen progress, but their extreme disparities still exist among certain communities. I think a lot of the progress can be attributed to, increase in sexuality education as well as access to contraceptives within communities.
So I do wonder, we do get to look at comparisons community to community within Oregon. And Matthew Laidler, you mentioned that this is funded in part from a CDC grant. And I wonder if that allows comparisons with other states, either on the mapping tool or elsewhere in your research.
Yeah, so right now we don't have data from other states. Data on sexual violence in the U.S. is fairly scarce. The CDC recently conducted a survey of sexual violence in the U.S., and some of those data are available on the CDC website. And, the map is really under development. We see this basically as a work in progress. We know that There are other sources of data that we can and eventually will add to the map, and it's possible that some of that will be, for instance, national comparisons.
So, first of all, why is the information scarce, as you say?
I think in part it's because there's not a lot of research in terms of sexual violence prevention in the U.S., especially as far as prevention programs. I think that it's getting more attention, which I think is certainly warranted. But in terms of public health data, it's a problem that public health is really sort of getting into fairly recently, turning its attention to the prevention focus as far as sexual violence rather than just simply mitigation. We think that in the future there will be more public health data available as more state public health departments become involved in sexual violence prevention.
We're again talking about the Sexual Violence Prevention Resource Map put out by the Oregon Health Authority and the Oregon Department of Education in a joint project. Matthew Laidler is with the Oregon Health Authority, a lead research specialist. Sasha Grenier is with the Department of Education, Sexual Health Education and School Health Specialist. You can join us on the exchange and also take a look at the map. It's linked through our website at jeffexchange.org. Join the conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Sasha, is there any particular category? We talked about how teen pregnancy looks better over time. Still some issues there, but is there anything that was a real yikes for the folks at the Department of Education in looking at this stuff laid out on a map?
Any yikes? Well, I think that we've known for quite a while that that folks in Oregon, students in Oregon, are facing lots of challenges, right? There is an increase in violence, we know, among LGBTQ students. We know that there are increased rates of bullying that is happening in classrooms and in schools. We know that STI rates are going up across the state. So this is not necessarily something new to us, but it is something new that I think a lot of school districts maybe don't necessarily make connections to the fact that K-12 education does play this primary prevention role in working on these issues, right? I think historically we have this separation between education and health, and I think this sort of map shows that, no, we're all very intertwined in what we do. So hopefully that this map will spread the word that, hey, we can play a role in these really important health indicators such as sexual violence prevention, STI rates, pregnancy rates, so on and so forth. And I think education is primed to kind of recognize that, yes, education and prevention are the same.
Which you mentioned bullying, and so we're looking at the categories in here called bullying based on perceived sexual orientation, 8th grade, same category, 11th grade. Then there's bullying unwanted sexual comments or attention, 8th grade and 11th grade. But there's also bullying for any reason, 8th grade and 11th grade. And Matthew, were those included just to make sure that there was some side-by-side comparison?
Not necessarily. I mean, bullying is really an indicator, that can, I think, show a lack of empathy as well as an acceptance of violence. Both of those things actually are risk factors for sexual violence. So some of these things as being risk factors for sexual violence perpetration, it's not necessarily evident until you start to, look at the research and realize there's a pretty broad spectrum of risk factors for sexual violence perpetration.
Well, how should people use the map then, Matthew? I mean, when people look at the map and they might say, for example, yikes, my county is darker in this category. For example, Douglas County shows greater incidence of sexual coercion amongst 11th graders than neighboring counties. I mean, how should somebody in either Douglas or Josephine County react to that?
Well, I think that, as mentioned, there's only so much resource that can be, applied, for instance, to sexual violence prevention education. So I think that communities can use this as a tool for assessing what the rates are in their own community, and not simply look at, what the aggregate rate is in the state or in the county next door. And I think, potentially question why is the rate higher in this particular community versus in the community next door? And then look at that side by side with things like resources. Are the resources that are available in that county at the same level as in the county next door? So I think that's what's key, is looking at really the geographic distribution and understanding that all of these indicators, they differ by a geography. And I think that it's warranted really to question why that exists in some communities and not others.
And it's not, if you're thinking in terms of an urban-rural split, I was disabused of that notion by looking at some of these things on the map, that there are some rural counties where things are just as good as the urban areas and some where they're really not.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of variation, and it depends on the specific indicator as well. I don't think there's one place in the state where we can say, you know, gosh, things are really bad here or things are really good there. There's a lot of variation, and I think that different communities have to look at those indicators within their own community to kind of figure that out.
Sasha Grenier, give us a sense of what you might think jointly at the Department of Education about the sense of understanding of issues of sexual violence across Oregon. I mean, this is the Me Too era, so it seems like everyone is aware of sexual harassment and sexual abuse, but is it still possible that the message just hasn't gotten through to all areas yet?
Well, I think the message is definitely getting out there. What I think is something that is highlighted by the map is that, you know, when we think about sexual assault and sexual violence, we typically think of, you know, later on in life and kind of the mitigation of sexual violence later on in life, say in college, et cetera. And those programs and interventions are definitely very important. But I think what we think about less is how we really set those foundations for the skills to prevent sexual violence early on in life, say in kindergarten, third grade, right? That those sorts of things, I think, is where folks don't necessarily make those connections yet. And I think the map does a great job of articulating that.
And I haven't mentioned categories other than the bullying ones, but starting at the top, it's sexual coercion among Oregon teens, 11th grade students, sexual violence, forced sexual intercourse among Oregon teens, that's for 11th grade students. Next category is sexual abuse, sexual contact with an adult, there's teen dating violence, sexual behavior among Oregon teens, 8th and 11th graders. Any particular trends that were showing up in that category in particular, sexual behavior among Oregon teens in 8th and 11th grades?
Yeah, so we do know that in Oregon, sexual initiation is starting later. And again, we do think that the more we teach sex ed, the more that the sexual initiation will begin later and later. We know that research shows that the earlier and more consistently sex ed begins and is taught throughout someone's youth and adolescence, that they are less likely to have many partners. They're less likely to begin sexual initiation until they are ready, right? It actually pushes that age back. It decreases rates of STIs and unintended pregnancies. So we do see some improvement in those regards. However, like I mentioned before, STI rates is still something that we've seen going up quite a bit in the state for the last several years.
Sexually transmitted infections or STDs, yeah. Sexually transmitted diseases, as Matt referred to them. We're talking to Matthew Laidler from the Oregon Health Authority and Sasha Grenier from the Oregon Department of Education about the Sexual Violence Prevention Resource Map, now available online and through our website at jeffexchange.org. Now, you were talking about adjustments to sex education curriculum in Oregon in recent years. So where do things stand now? Are all students required to take part in the comprehensive sexuality education?
Yes. So according to Oregon law, since 2009, students from K through 12 must have sexuality education at 4 sessions per year. It's a set of 3 laws that have been passed throughout the last years that really, really articulate very clearly what specific content areas and topics need to be covered each year. So yes, from kindergarten through 12th, it is now a requirement.
Can school districts opt out? Can parents opt students out within their school district?
Yeah, so parents can opt their children out of any session that they would like. School districts themselves cannot opt out of the entire health curriculum. For the first time since 2016, these sex education standards are integrated into health education standards. So they're part of that core content area of health now.
And is it the same curriculum then across the state?
So Oregon does not have its own set of curricula that covers all of the standards. It's really up to the community itself to decide how to meet those standards on their own. So depending on their own community context and their own needs, they can really decide how to meet those standards however fits.
All right. So and then at what ages is the comprehensive sexuality education delivered?
So it must be 4 sessions per year from kindergarten on. So really in any sort of public education setting that's teaching health, sexuality education needs to be part of it. But let me clarify too that sex ed as you know, ODE and Oregon requires is different than the ideas that we have typically of what sex ed includes, right? It includes a wide range of topics, including child abuse prevention, safety, healthy relationships, respect and empathy, and media literacy, decision making. I mean, the list goes on and on, but it really does kind of defy what we traditionally think of and has this misconception of what sex ed looked like for us maybe decades ago. And this is much more kind of holistic and really the foundations that don't have to do necessarily with what we think of as, you know, sexuality or sexual intercourse, which doesn't begin for quite a while. So when we talk about education for kindergartners, et cetera, it's looking much more like those social emotional foundations that will later apply to those other skills regarding sexuality, romantic relationships, intimacy. But when it's really being introduced, it's those foundational skills that work to prevent sexual violence, sexual harassment, and assault.
All right, so a broader context then about relationships and people getting together in general by the time you're getting into kindergarten. You get to the mechanics a bit later on.
Right, and we actually, you know, in Oregon, we say we never really get into the mechanics of it, right? It's always, you know, how to stay safe and be aware of your own boundaries and limitations and your own communication and values, right? It's not really, an emphasis is never really drawn to the technique or mechanics.
All right. So, Sasha, before we go, just another thought, and I'm probably asked a variation of this already, about things that the Department of Education sees as further needs based on the all the information compiled on these maps.
So I think the biggest need is reflected in the survey that OHA used to compile this survey that, you know, teachers around the state are really calling for increased training, you know, more curricula guidance for meeting these standards, and just support. We know that, you know, teachers around the state are really, they have 1.5 million things to do every minute, and it's really hard for them to do all of these new additional things that we're requiring. So really focusing on teacher capacity development and supporting our teachers with the resources and skill development that they need.
Okay. Now, the basic information, again, available through the Sexual Violence Prevention Resource Map, a joint project of the Oregon Health Authority and the Oregon Department of Education. Sasha Grenier is with ODE. Thank you for joining us. Matthew Laidler is a lead research specialist at Oregon Health Authority. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.